Blog Talk Radio.
And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Are you a mighty man of valor? There is power in the name of Jesus. He stands for truth. The name of Jesus alone can save you. Like Gideon, God sees the greatness inside of you. He's the king that has all authority and all power. Let God speak into your life. Thou mighty man of valor. Great is he that is within you than he that is within the whole world. For our Lord is a man of war. So onward, Christian soldiers, marching out to war. For I say the Lord will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and be the glory in the midst of her. The Lord is our protector. We are called by the Father to follow his lead. We are called to be the head of the household and be two men in our homes for our entire family. Teach the family how to worship our true Father. So your children don't have to look to the world for advice. They know they have a true Father. Any hurdle you face in life, know that the Lord will take you over. We are soldiers for Jehovah. This faith is a fight. It is not a game. Your life is on play and you can't press for sex. We pray and strive to follow his spiritual code of conduct. Line after line, precept after precept. His word gives us marks and orders for life. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, nor are we embarrassed. We are ambassadors for Christ. In the army of the Lord, God's army, we are part of his salvation army. He is the vine and we are the branches. We are God's property. We are against the ways of the world. We rebel. God gave us power on earth to bind the devil. We are the body of Christ, and we stand strong as brethren. It is written, whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Like Joshua, God has given you the city. All you have to do is take it for G-O-D. This battle cannot be won by weapons made by man. In us dwells the presence of God. In the Old Testament, his presence was within the Ark of the Covenant. We are children of promise that carry the word as a sword. The word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, in which we are carriers of the Ark of the Lord. Shout unto the Lord. He hears your heart's cry. Give him your all. Let him hear your battle cry. Be the Messiah's mighty man. We are spiritual armed men. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Just know that we are victorious by his blood. The enemy is roaring around like a lion, but he can't defeat us. Because the real lion is our king. The lion of the tribe of Judah is our Jesus. He's the greatest friend that you earnestly need. Every day when you pray and get closer to the Lord, there is power in prayer. As you get on your knees, you are weakening the camp of the enemy and become God's mighty men of valor and live by his righteous standards. Through the power of his spirit and prayer, God is able to destroy the work of the enemy single-handed. The mighty men of valor.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Good evening, everybody. Good evening, our new listeners. You've joined the Men's Fellowship of the Potter's House, Renewing Your Mind Ministries International. Our motto is, we are co-workers in the kingdom. And this is Bishop Buried along with Minister Jerry Cleveland, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here. Thank the Lord. Bless God forever. Yes, sir. And glad to be here.
Glory to God. And Minister Jerry, if you would open us up in prayer.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for being with us today and bringing us up to this very minute. We are going to speak life as we always do. That is the subject of today, and we ask. You said you'd never leave us or forsake us, but we request that you be with us by your Holy Spirit and that we speak life into the lives and the hearts of the men and the women, the boys and the girls, even today as we do this lesson. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. And you alluded to our subject today, what we're going to be talking about. What is it, Minister Joy?
The subject is a part of the series that we started last week, Speak Life.
Hallelujah.
Speak Life.
Speak Life.
That is the subject every morning. Oh, my God. Bishop, that's the subject every morning before I go to work.
Speak
life. I'm going to tell you something. Speaking death and speaking things that are not wholesome and things that are not going to edify and things that are not going to lift up and raise is easier. Because all we have to do is speak out of our flesh. It's easier to go that route, especially when you're around and you're working with people who walk in that light all of the time. But when you are a Christian, you give it a second thought. When you want to uplift and you want to edify and you want to raise up, you have to speak life. And therefore, you cannot just speak off of the top of your head or out of your emotions. You have to think about what Jesus is going to say, what Jesus says. What does he say about this? What does he think about this is what should be in the front of your mind when you leave here every morning, when you leave to go to work every morning. That should be. That my prayer is, be a gate over my mouth.
Amen. You know, Minister Jerry, you're so right. And as you were sharing, the scripture came to me, of course, Galatians 6 and 7. It says, be not deceived. Don't be fooled. God is not mocked. He won't be laughed at because he's a consistent God. He said, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Yes.
And we know that everything we think, everything we speak, everything we do are seeds that are planted in our garden. And we're going to get a harvest. Good, bad, or ugly. It depends on what we're sowing. And I thank God for the realization that, you know, I think that's Ephesians 4:29. Out of our mouths, we ought to be speaking hope, things that will edify and build up. Not corrupt communication, but good stuff, because what we say out of our mouth will come back to us.
That's right.
Multiply.
Amen. Multiplied. We're sowing seeds as we talk. Yes, sir. As we speak, as we edify, or as we tear down, whichever way we're going with it, it's a seed. So when we talk to our boys, we try to edify. We bring them up. We don't call them names that are outside of the word. We call them, can I give you an example, Bishop?
Yes, you can.
Okay, I'm Deuteronomy 30:19. I call before you heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore choose life, that both you and your seeds may live.
Mm.
And so when we choose life, we are not only choosing to call to say good things or speak good words over our children, but we are speaking good words over their children and their children. And the scripture talks about through 100 generations.
You know, Minister, there is a scripture in Proverbs. It's Proverbs 18:21. It says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. Now, that, to understand that very, very exactly, is that you got power in your tongue.
Yes.
That's what it says right there. You don't arbitrarily, capriciously, or cavalierly say stuff out of your mouth.
That's why we're slow to speak.
You're right. Yeah, because as far as I know, what you say out of your mouth, you can't crack those words and shove them back in your mouth, can you?
Oh, no, sir. You, no, sir.
I really didn't mean that. That's just like killing somebody and then say, excuse me, I really didn't mean that. Too late, they're dead. You know,
well,
in other words,
yes,
those words are out there in the atmosphere.
Yes.
You know,
once it's out in the atmosphere, you cannot undo it. It's just like anything that you see, your eye gates, anything that you see that, let's say, for example, that it shocks you, you wish you had never seen it, but you can't unsee it.
It's in there. Minister, I remind you, I talked to a young lady who's in her 70s now.
Yes.
And she still holds art against her mother, who's been dead and gone for probably 50 years.
Mm.
Because of the words that were spoken to her.
Yes.
And she has not forgiven them for those words. See, it takes us to forgive folk, but when they come out of their mouth with bad stuff. See, we can't do anything about what we said out of our mouths after they come out. But the person that hears it can say, Lord, Father, forgive them. That's the only way you can get rid of that. It takes God to get rid of that stuff. But the best thing to do is to come out your mouth with good stuff.
Not only that, Bishop, but one of the ways that you do that is you practice.
Yes.
And you practice until it becomes a habit. You practice until you have crushed the flesh, pushed the flesh down, and it's a habit, and you speak life the biggest part of the time, which also becomes a habit. What did we say here? 21 days of continuous doing the same thing will create a habit.
A habit. That's right. That's right. That's a scientific point that scientists have come up with. That.
Yes.
You were quoting a scripture, and right now I don't remember where it is, but it said, "Be slow to speak."
Yes.
And quick to hear. Slow to speak. That's why you got two ears. So you ought to be listening twice as much as you speak. You got one mouth, two ears. And one of the things we dealt with maybe about a month ago, we were sharing with folks something that you can do to kind of counteract the flesh. Because the flesh, somebody come out to you the wrong way, you want to jump back at them. It's called the fight and flight response. It's part of quote unquote human nature. You want to either beat them up, slap them down, or you want to run. Well, I'm gonna tell you something. That's the flesh.
Barbara James.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. You were giving us the nature of the flesh.
It's to respond.
Yes.
In the flesh. If someone is calling, they probably don't know that we have service.
Mm-hmm.
Men's fellowship on this night. But that's all right. It's important. What we dealt with, if you just pause for about 5 or 10 seconds.
Yes.
And ask God to lead you, Holy Spirit, lead me. It will help you to overcome that natural urge to strike back.
Yes.
And one of the things we came up with was a little I guess you call it a prayer or a mantra.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, if I wasn't a Christian, I wouldn't be here. Holy Spirit, lead me. That takes 5 seconds. So
yes.
if you say that twice, that's 10 seconds. 10 seconds, people have said, I think there were scientists, I'm not sure, so don't quote me on this, but 10 seconds or count to 10, that's what they used to tell you. Have you heard that before, the count to 10 before you speak?
Yes.
Have you heard that before?
Yes, I have.
Yes.
I've also taken some deep breaths before I speak, yes.
If you take 10 seconds before you say something, you're gonna be in control of the situation. You're going to be in control of your mouth. So we came up with, if I wasn't a Christian, I wouldn't be here. Holy Spirit, lead me. If I wasn't a Christian, I wouldn't be here. Holy Spirit, lead me. That's 10 seconds, saying that twice. And you're asking the Holy Spirit to lead you.
Yes.
And the Bible says in Proverbs 3:5-6, lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Now, he's going to direct your path because you asked him to.
That's right.
If I wasn't a Christian, I wouldn't be here. Holy Spirit, lead me. If I wasn't a Christian, I wouldn't be here. Holy Spirit, lead me. If you need some kind of mantra to speak, everybody don't need that. Everybody can wait 10 seconds or can pause. A lot of people can do that. Let me put this that way. But if you need something to help you to wait those 10 seconds, you can say under your breath.
Yes.
Especially if you got your mask on. If I wasn't a Christian, I wouldn't be here. Holy Spirit, lead me. Because you really, your flesh want to knock them out. You know, especially some of the women and people may call them out of their name, you know. And they want to knock them out. You know,
mm-hmm.
They want the earth to open up and swallow them up. They want to say something, you know. They really want to get crack back at them. You know what I mean? But... glory to God. You got to let God lead you. If I wasn't a Christian, I wouldn't be here. Holy Spirit, lead me. And if you ask the Holy Spirit to lead you, he's going to do that. He's going to give you peace. There's a scripture, and I think that's 1 Peter 3:10. It talks about if you want to live a good life, you want to be, you know, a really, you know, a successful prosperous, watch what you say after your mouth.
That's right. Life is an open book test.
And the book is the word of God. The B-I-B-L-E, that stands for basic information before leaving earth. That's the Bible. They got 788,280 words in the King James Version Bible. There is something that will handle the situation that you find yourself in. I want you to know.
Yes, and usually you find yourself in a life or death situation, a situation where you can get pronounced blessings or cursings.
Mm.
Therefore, remember the open book test, therefore choose life, and both you and your seed may live, your seed and your seed's seed and your seed seed. There's no end. There is no end to the blessing. The blessing is passed on through generations. The word goes, like you said earlier, into the ether, and it stays there. We're living on prayers. We are living on prayers that our foreparents that we don't know anything about, but they prayed for us. And we're living on our prayers, on their prayers, until we learn to even pray for ourselves.
Amen.
They support us in
you
prayer,
know,
in the spiritual realm, yes.
That is so true. A lot of us, if it wasn't for the prayers of a lot of our great-great-great-great-grandparents, some of us wouldn't be here or wouldn't be as successful as we are or wouldn't be as healthy as we are, whatever, because of their prayers. The selfless prayers.
Yes.
Selfless. In other words, they weren't even thinking about themselves. They were thinking about generations to come.
That's right.
They weren't even born yet, and they prayed for us. Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He was giving out forgiveness for us, and we weren't even a wink in anybody's eye. 2,000
Bishop, you are absolutely right. They prayed for us, those selfless prayers. So we, you know what? Most of the time we have to run out of ourselves.
Yeah.
We have to come to our own end, just like Jesus did. He came to his, when he came to the end, he was still talking. He was still speaking life, even though he was on the cross dying. Physically dying. Yes, he was still speaking spiritual life. And he was speaking those things that be not as though they were. Joel 3:10 tells us, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the poor say, I'm rich.
Come on now.
Because of what the Lord has done. Is he telling us? Is he telling us to lie?
No.
Or is he telling us to prophesy? Is he telling us to speak to those dry bones?
Yes.
I was somewhere the other day. That's where that came from. I was somewhere the other day. I think I was at BJ's getting gas. And, oh, that's it. That's what it was. Of the BJ's getting gas, and somebody in their car was playing them bones, them dry bones. And I would speak to the, I was like, oh, my God.
Mm-mm-mm. You know, we got to speak positive. Some psychologists call it positive self-talk. But see, what it is, God goes further than that. He says, speak to not just yourself, but to those dreams and those visions that I gave you a long time ago and you thought were dead. Speak life into them, not death. Hallelujah. Prophesy to the wind. Your words have power. Life or death is in the power of the tongue. Your words have power to bring things into being. Job 22:28 says, you can decree a thing and it shall be given. It shall be established. Decree means to say out loud. See, y'all got to start in the morning when you wake up. Y'all got to be, look here. You got to speak life to yourself. Have an attitude of gratitude because gratitude to God for all he's done affects your attitude. And when your attitude affects your altitude. And when you go out, it's not that you got to go to work. It's that you get to go to work. It's not that you have time on your hand. You have time in your hand. You have the power in your tongue to speak life over other folks. Not death. Speak like, watch what you say out your mouth. Because it's going to be either going to be a help or it's going to hurt you. It's either going to bless you or it's going to curse you. Now, Jesus took the curse from the law. So the curse is, look, he made a new law, a new commandment, a new contract, a new agreement. But what he has done, glory be to God, what he does is, look, I've given you a new law. It's called the law of love. You've got to start at the beginning. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and spirit, and then your neighbor as yourself. So number two, brother, you got to love yourself. You come out in the morning and say, oh, Lord, this is a... No, you come out, oh, blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. I woke up this morning, glory to God. Glory to God. I thank God for my life, health, and strength. I thank God, hallelujah, for... and able to breathe and to taste the fresh, unused air of a new day. I am a winner because a lot of folks didn't win today. They did not wake up today, but I woke up. I'm a winner already, and I haven't even stepped foot out of my house. Glory to God. I haven't even got in the car yet, and I'm a winner already. Glory be to God. You still there? Minister James? I think we lost Minister James. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your kingdom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I think we lost Minister James. See if you can get him back. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And take the mute off your phone. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. All right, Minister Jerry. Okay, can't hear him. Take the mute off. Okay, Minister Jerry?
Yes, sir.
Okay, can hear you now. I don't know what happened. I got kind of carried away there, but we're still here. Hallelujah.
Okay, amen.
Amen. But life and death... Death and life is in the power of the tongue. We got power in the tongue. We better use it for life. Hallelujah. Because it means life for us and everybody around us. Hallelujah. Go ahead, Brother Jerry. Minister Jerry.
So we are going to learn and we are going to practice speaking to those dry bones, those situations that look like they'll never become of anything. But we can't give up. That's the hard part. That's the part where if we have to invite God into this situation, and He is the maintainer and the sustainer of what He wants from His word, and His word will not return to Him void, but it will accomplish whatever He sends it to do. And so will our words. Our words will accomplish whatever we send them to do. And we will not be mocked. We will not be we will not bring bad words to the glory of God.
Amen. You know, that dry bones, that's in Ezekiel 37. And you mentioned about the words will not come back void. That's Isaiah 55:11, because we love giving the addresses so you can go check it out for yourself, so you don't think we're just speaking stuff, but it's in the Word of God. Hallelujah! Y'all got to pay attention to the Word of God, because it's strength to your bones, life to your marrow. It's a blessing to your life, y'all. Men, you know, people are depending on you to stand tall, to be leaders, hallelujah, to show the way, like the Word of God itself. That's why you got to know the Word yourself. So, hallelujah, the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Psalms 119, verse 105. It's important for us to know the Word. That's why you be eager to learn the Word, because there's anointing in the Word. There's power in the Word. Hallelujah. And when you speak it out aloud, guess what? You get the power. Ooh, you got the power. Bible says in Acts 1 and 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Hallelujah. And then you're going to start speaking out of your mouth. You're going to be a witness for the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Your actions, your words, your deeds should be a witness for Almighty God. I mean, Jesus ought to say to God, say, look, that's one of mine, hallelujah. Look at him. Listen to him. Because of the life you're living. Speak life. You know, Minister Jerry, one of the things that we shared with some folks was a few months ago, that you can even teach a one-year-old or a two-year-old this. There are the three keys to the seven pillars of wisdom. The three keys. If it's not yours, don't take it. If it's not true, don't say it. And if it's not right, don't do it. PSD. And that's so important. But, you know, speak the truth. And speak what you want to see. Real what you want to see. And make sure it's following the law of love. That's how people know that you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, is that you have love one for another. Is that right? Hallelujah. Minister Jerry, are you still there?
Yeah, yeah. We'll say that again. Make sure it's what?
Hallelujah. Make sure you speak life. Because by this shall men know you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, is that you have love one for another. Now is the time for the law of love. That's Christ, the message of Christ's love. Not getting back at people. Not giving tit for tat.
Yes.
Even in the scriptures, it talks about, you know, the Old Testament said, I have an eye, two for two. But Jesus said, nuh-uh. Now, I want you to love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you. Pray for them. So you got to control your flesh, your emotions. Yeah, because your emotions want to take them out. Somebody come at you, you want to come at them. You want to jump at them. The Bible says in Romans 12:19, that vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I shall repay. And see, now how God repays, he pays with love. See, because that's the new covenant, the new agreement, the new contract, the New Testament. Is the law of love, y'all.
The law of love.
The law of love. So if somebody, you don't argue with nobody, you don't be calling people, go down to their level. You bring them up to your level. Your level is love and joy in the Holy Ghost. God. You bring them up to your level.
You bring them up. You're right. That's right. You don't let them bring you down. You bring them up.
Amen. And I'm going to tell you, when you start your day off speaking words of life to yourself, the psychologists call that positive self-talk, and then you speak and you praise God and magnify God and glorify God and have an attitude of gratitude, your day is it's going to be different. You're going to go out and you're going to appreciate the beauty of the season, the various colors of the leaves, and all the other things that during fall and winter. You won't say, "Oh Lord, it's winter again." No, you say, "Well, thank God for allowing me to taste the fresh, unused air of the fall or the winter." Hallelujah! Because so many people can't do that. Because they done already gone to their reward. You still here. You still got an opportunity to get it right. You still got a responsibility to be a minister of reconciliation. So you got to get it right. You got to, glory to God. You got to speak your mouth.
You have to speak life out of your mouth. And when you speak life out of your mouth, and you're speaking to your children, your male children, we're talking about male children right now, you speak, but any of them, actually, you speak, but right now we're talking about the male, when you're speaking to your male children, you are speaking life, and you are imparting life. That is the blessing, that was part of the covenant, part of the blessing. So it's nothing, you don't need all the ritualistic, all of those, you don't need the oil and the symbols and the this and the that, all you need is a tamed tongue. And you will speak life, and you will speak blessings, and you will, and not cursing.
Amen.
Over your seed. And that's what you want. That's what you need to do. You need to speak. Put the word out there. Don't be afraid. Don't think that it's not that because it is going to perform that which you have sent
it
to do.
Well, there's a scripture that I was made aware of, I think just this week or last week. It's Isaiah 1:19. It says, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And if you're willing to seek life, and be obedient to God's word, about not, no corrupt communication come proceed out of your mouth, but that which is edifying and helpful and building up and all that kind of good stuff. Ephesians 4:29-32. You're going to be blessed. You're going to eat the good of the land. You know, I shared with this for years. I told people there are certain things that happen just because you're on this side of the dirt. Life happens to all of us, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Goes around in circles, comes again, good, bad, and the ugly. What do you want to have more of? You want to have more of the good, and you want to have plenty of it. Is that right? You want to have, how can you do that? Well, God gives you a thought. He said, I made you in my image. So I spoke the stuff that wasn't, and it became. You can do the same thing, but speak life, not death. Speak hope, not hopelessness. Speak, hallelujah, love, not hate. Speak joy, not whatever the opposite of joy is, hallelujah. Speak light, not darkness. Speak good stuff, y'all. Because the seed you sow is the crop you grow. Everything you do will come back to you, but it will come back multiplied. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You come out of your mouth with stuff. I think that was Christian called it, but hallelujah. Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, heaped up and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For in like manner you give, it shall be given to you again. So you speaking hatred and bitterness and wrath, guess what? That's what you're going to get, but it's going to come back multiplied. I told one husband, I told a bunch of men, I put it this way. I said, if you give your wife a whole lot of stress, it's going to come back to you, but it's going to be multiplied. She's going to give you back hell. God, you got to be careful what you say out your mouth, y'all. Because what you say may sink your ship. Reverend Leroy, you remember Reverend Leroy? Flip Wilson?
Yes.
He said, loose lips.
Sink ships.
Loose lips sink ships. Y'all, some of y'all done sunk so many ships, and then you wonder why your ship hasn't come in. You done sank it with your mouth.
Oh, my God.
You done opened your mouth one time too many, and done sank your own ship. And then other y'all are shaking your head now. At least they sent out a ship. You didn't even send another ship. And you still waiting for your ship to come in. You didn't send one out. You better speak to them dry bones and tell them to come to life. That bone to bone, to send you the signal and speak to the wind, the flesh on the bones, the breath in the body of those things.
Amen, amen.
Then watch them come together, like almost like an earthquake. That things begin to rattle. Hallelujah. Shake, rattle, and roll. I guess that's where shake, rattle, and roll, rock and roll came from. The dry bones are coming together. Thank God. Because you spoke life. Speak life over your family. Speak life over your job, over your business, over your church, over your community, over your city. Come on, over your country. Speak life. Don't be up there joining the chorus. Oh, whoa. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. If it wasn't for bad luck, I had no luck. Don't be joining the chorus. Speak hope and opportunity. Speak life over your city, over your family, over your country. You're not a news reporter. You don't have to tell us what's happening. The devil's out there stealing, killing, and destroying. I don't want to hear what he's doing. I want to hear what God is doing. And if you want God to do a little bit more, you prophesy to those bones. Prophesy to those dead circumstances. Prophesy life, not death.
Speak to them. Talk to them. Tell them something they've never heard. You know, I was at the table the other day, and one of the girls was talking to the boy across the table, and he thought the assignment was due. He thought the assignment was due today, but the assignment, the girl told him, no, that assignment was due yesterday. And did you do so-and-so-and-so? okay, your goose is cooked. You're done. I said, oh, my God. She, I said, oh, my God, the boy just sat there and he looked like, oh, my goose is done, I guess. She said, give him some hope. Don't cut it off like that. Give him some hope. Give him something that he. So she said, okay. Well, no. Here's what you do. She go to the teacher. Tell the teacher your situation. Talk to them, blah blah, and see if they will give you another chance. I said, oh, that's a lot better. Yeah. Okay. So the young man spoke to the teacher, and the teacher made some kind of resolution with him. And he can turn in the assignment, but he'll probably be losing some points for it. But nevertheless, it's not a straight up zero. And the girl felt better, the young lady felt better, that she had given him some hope, given him a way out.
She spoke life over him.
She spoke life.
Speak life, y'all. Speak life. I heard our alarm go off, so I know it's time, but...
Okay.
Your last words you want to share, Minister Jerry?
You know what, Bishop? The only words that I want to leave the people of God with is speak life. Not death. What would Jesus say?
Amen.
What is it that's in your heart to say that's going to edify? It's going to leave a good feeling, a good thought, a good idea, leave some hope on the hearts of somebody who is hopeless or who feels like things. What can I say to these dry bones to bring them to life?
Amen. Thank you so much, Minister Jerry. And thank you so much for joining in with us with the Men's Fellowship on today. Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, for the harvest on the seed sown. We thank you, Lord, for 36 and 100-fold, even 1,000-fold increase in blessing. And Father God, we thank you, Lord, for every family represented today, oh God. We thank you for blessing them, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for miracles and signs, wonders, and miracles and blessings following in Jesus' name. And we give you the praise, and we give you the honor, and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you. See you next month. For the Men's Fellowship. Stay tuned for the Women's Fellowship coming in a few minutes.
And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Are you a mighty man of valor? There is power in the name of Jesus. He stands for truth. The name of Jesus alone can save you. Like Gideon, God sees the greatness inside you. He's the king that has all authority and all power. Let God speak into your life. Thou mighty man of valor. Great is he that is within you than he that is within the whole world. For our Lord is a man of war. So onward, Christian soldiers, marching out to war. For I say the Lord will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and be the glory in the midst of her. The Lord is our protector. We are called by the Father to follow his lead. We are called to be the head of the household and be two men in our homes for our entire family. Teach the family how to worship our true Father. So your children don't have to look to the world for advice. They know they have a true Father. Any hurdle you face in life, know that the Lord will take you over. We are soldiers for Jehovah. This faith is a fight. It is not a game. Your life is on play and you can't press for sex. We pray and strive to follow his spiritual code of conduct. Line after line, precept after precept. His word gives us marks and orders for life. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nor are we embarrassed. We are ambassadors for Christ. In the army of the Lord, God's army, we are part of his salvation army. He's the vine and we are the branches. We are God's property. We are against the ways of the world. We rebel. God gave us power on earth to bind the devil. We are the body of Christ, and we stand strong as brethren. It is written, whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Like Joshua, God has given you the city. All you have to do is take it for G-O-D. This battle cannot be won by weapons made by man. In us dwells the presence of God. In the Old Testament, His presence was within the Ark of the Covenant. We are children of promise that carry the word as a sword. The word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, in which we are carriers of the Ark of the Lord. Shout out to the Lord. He hears the heart's cry. Give Him your all. Let Him hear your battle cry. Be the Messiah's mighty men. We are spiritual armed men. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Just know that we are victorious by His blood. The enemy is roaring around like a lion, but he can't defeat us. Because the real lion is our king. The lion of the tribe of Judah is our Jesus. He is the greatest friend that you earnestly need. Every day when you pray and get closer to the Lord, there is power in prayer. As you get on your knees, you are weakening the camp of the enemy and become God's mighty men of valor and live by His righteous standards. Through the power of His Spirit and prayer, God is able to destroy the work of the enemy single-handed. The mighty men of valor.
My own. Hallelujah, and good evening, women of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And you, we are tonight, you are listening to the Potter's House, Renewing Your Mind Ministries International, our Women's Fellowship. Hallelujah. And we come to you on the second Friday of the month. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God, we ask you tonight to bless every woman. Hallelujah. Every young lady. Every little girl, Lord God, that's listening to the word of God tonight, Lord God, let their hearts be blessed. Hallelujah. Lord God, allow us to be able to say something that's going to encourage their hearts. In the name of Jesus, we just submit everything, our lives, our day, our evening, everything to you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. And tonight, hallelujah. We are joined, hallelujah. I am Pastor Peaches, and we have our co-host, hallelujah, Pastor Maxine Lee. Hallelujah. There, Pastor Maxine. Hallelujah. And Elder Kiwi Stevenson.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Two wonderful women of the word and women of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I usually lead off, but tonight, hallelujah, I'm going to take the back seat. I'm going to switch places with Elder Kiwi, and she is going to head this one off tonight. And Pastor Maxine and I, we are going to, hallelujah, we're going to come up later on, hallelujah, and share our story, hallelujah, for everyone, hallelujah. Go ahead, Elder Kiwi, hallelujah.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. We're so excited about our topic tonight. Our topic, first of all, when the Lord gave it to me, I said, oh, Lord, then how do we go about this? He said, open your mouth, and I'll speak for you. The topic is, how can we begin to bring Jesus' principles and teachings back into our families? How can we do that? A lot of times we have put that aside, and we have dropped the ball. Because we want Christian-centered homes. And I think, like anything else, where we felt we faltered, where we haven't been our best, you go back to the altar. You go back and you pray. Ask God to forgive you. Because you need a do-over in your families. The families get so busy doing this, that, and the other, going to rehearsals, school, other activities, that they've forgotten about God as a teaching tool in the home. We don't sit around and have dinner at the table together anymore. Someone's got their pizza in their bedroom. They're on their iPod. They're on their computer. They're at the library. They're at a friend's house. But we don't come together as a family unit, which is needed. A family that prays together, stays together. And look what Satan has done in so many ways. Pulled us apart. We hardly ever pray together. So let's start over. Pull the family together in a family prayer. But the word I want to start with today is John 14:23. It says, the Savior taught, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make an abode with him, which basically means the scriptures teach us that if we love the Lord and obey his commandments, he will be with us in our individual lives and in our homes. And this is where we move Christ back as the center of our homes. So when you get this family together, say, family, we're going to have a powwow. We're going to have a little meeting. Something different tonight. You know they're going to give you eyes. Uh-oh, what mom and dad up to? We'll be up tonight. This sounds corny. But you start to explain to them, because you are have a Christian home, and your motto is, for me, we will serve the Lord, we need a do-over. You can even confess as a parent, say, you know, I haven't done as well as I needed to in making sure that you know that this is a Christian home and that we serve God. So we need to come together and ask God to help us, and I need your help. So we're going to have a family prayer. Then we're going to have family prayer. We're going to try to do it before you go to school in the morning, but if not, at least at night. At some point during the day, we want to touch our spirits together and bring God in it to cover us in prayer. I will start one time, maybe Daddy or one of the other children, but the point is that we come together, that we think about what it is we want God to do. We want him to be reborn, first of all, in our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. So let's do a do-over. Be transparent in front of the children. Then you start thinking of ways that how you can do that. You can ask them for suggestions. Say, hey, what would you like just having learning a Bible verse? Maybe just once a week or something like that. And there'll be a little prize. Or I may fix, we can fix cookies in the kitchen together. But find a way to be creative in how you can introduce them back into the love of Christ. The Bible says that those who win souls are cunning and wise. You know what your children like. You know what your family like. But figure out a way to be creative. In a way, sneaking Jesus in the back door, but letting him come right up front and center. So when you ask them, well, let's learn some Bible verses. We have a little prize at the end of the week. Let them get used to that. Don't throw it on them all at once, but the prayer that you have every night, let that be consistent. And little by little, they'll start opening up. Then you start saying, while you're in the kitchen fixing cookies or doing something, Betty, you have any questions? What's going on at work? If some of your younger, your older kids work, some of them that go to school, what's going on with you and Johnny? You go to an art class, right? Ask them questions and hear what they have to say. Once you hear them talk and express themselves, then that's what you can pull from to show them, hmm, that's interesting. Well, let me tell you what the Bible says about thus and so. Well, first of all, because you're listening to me, and this is a Christian home, Exodus 20 and 12 says, honor your father and your mother so that your days may be long upon the land. No, you may not like it, but guess what? If you do it, it's the first commandment of promise that God will give you. You want to get brownie points with God? All you got to do is do what your mom and dad says. I didn't say you had to like it. Just do it knowing that they care for you and they love for you and they're introducing to you that Jesus loves you too, and he loves the family. He ordained the family. As you begin to break the ice with the kids, then you have ideas on what you can do next. But the main thing is you want to introduce them to the Word of God, letting them know that Jesus Christ loves you, teaching them that he's always there. Find Bible verses that will connect to what you might want to say. And you can have like a little theme, but they don't know it, that you're going to use each week with that Bible verse that you give them. Because, again, those who win souls are cunning and wise. Proverbs 17 and 17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. Family should stick together. And sometimes you know there's bickering going on when you have brothers and sisters, but the motto is, in this house, we are going to have Christ. We are going to have peace and quiet. If you have a disagreement, let's talk it through. Let's talk it out. And then that's a good avenue to say, let's come to our weekly powwow. We have some things we need to discuss. It's a problem for everybody. Then that gives everybody an opportunity to jump on board, especially if they know they can bring their grievance to the table and everyone is going to be listening. And everybody has an opportunity to talk. In Proverbs 17 and 6 it says, children's children are the crown of the age, and the parents are the pride of their children. Our children and our grandchildren, they are the jewels of our heart. And we need to leave them a legacy. How do we do that? By allowing them to see Christ abiding in our lives, how we treat each other, and what we do together. You have to think of ways they have fun. That Satan and the world has all types of things to antagonize our kids, to get them interested in things in the world that are not beneficial. Keep in mind, we're practicing and we're letting them see that godly principles will win out. You want them to be courageous and not to be afraid. Joshua 1:9 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord our God will be with you wherever you go. You're trying to let them know that they're not alone, that we have a Savior that's ever looking, ever listening. And the point is, you have a place to bring your concern and your prayers and your questions, which is the family unit. We want to build up in their eyes is a safe place. Home is where love is. Home is where you're not criticized and judged all the time, but you're loved. But chastisement is given, lovingly so, because the Word of God says, speak the truth in love. And as you as a parent take the reign of this whole subject matter, think of ways to bring in the Word of God. As we taught the seven pillars of wisdom, use them. Use that as like an outline that you can teach the children. Number one, have a teachable, a coachable spirit. Number two, have a burning desire to be excellent and please God. You want them to be excellent at school, excellent in charity, excellent everywhere they go. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the center of your life. Have a willingness to work and go the extra mile. Don't just take out the trash. Say, Mom, what else is that I can do? Can I help little brother? Can I set the table? Can I do something for you? Number four, have a heart of integrity and honesty. That means think about what you're going to say before you say it. Do not lie and have an honest spirit about you. And if you have a problem with something, you have mom or dad, even an older brother and sister there that you can discuss that situation over. And again, remember, you're going to have that weekly pileup. Have a loving heart and a forgiving heart. Now, you know in the family, there's things that are always going on that mom or dad doesn't feel or is not seen by an adult, but brothers and sisters know exactly what's going on. You be the bigger one. Teach them. You do the right thing when no one's looking, because God is always watching. Number seven, have a giving heart. Give to others. Look and see, look in your neighborhood. Look around. Look at a child at school. See if they look like they might need a sweater or a jacket, or bring up the idea at the school. Can we have a scarf, a tap giveaway? Or can we collect items that we can pass around to children who are less fortunate than we are? Have a heart that's looking around to help somebody else. Because, again, that's one of the principles that God has for us. When we act more like him, we want to act more like Jesus and less like Satan. We want to sit down and allow him to stand up in our lives. So you have to do it in a variety of ways. You can do all of that right there in the family. As my mom used to say, as she pushed the cornbread in my mouth, she would give me a Bible verse or give me a lesson or a teaching on what the right thing would be to be a Christian little girl in our family. We're not having that here because we are a Christian home. We cannot embarrass God. So when you let children know where your priorities are, where your strength comes from, and the fact that we're doing it together, each one of you are important. You want to hear what they have to say. You want to pray together. You want to think of things you can do. And also, monitor that TV. Monitor those phones more than you have, Mom and Dad, because they're looking at things that they should not look at. But as you encourage them on the principles of being a good Christian, when nobody's looking, they will chastise each other. You'd be surprised that once you put a principle in a child, they will monitor each other. And they will say, you know, Mommy doesn't want us to watch that. Don't look at that. That's not like God. So you as a parent, ask the Lord for wisdom and what you can do to enhance Christ in the lives of your children. You know each and every one of them. One may like potato chips, the other like pretzels. One may like mayonnaise, one likes ketchup. But the point is, whatever they like, be attentive to it. Let them know, I see you. I'm not judging you, but I'm saying, why don't we think about this again? In the day that I came up in, kids were to be seen and not heard. You didn't have an opinion. But today is different. You must be cunning and wise as we win our children back to Christ. And we do it one at a time. And sometimes you even have to have a date night with your children. You know, they have a special liking. Or you have a child that's a little weak in the area. Then come on. Give me an hour of your time. We're going to do X, Y, Z. Find something special that you can do with that child, and that gives you an open opportunity to give them a little more of Christ in a different way. Ask the Lord for wisdom and knowledge, because we want to have a Christian home, and Jesus Christ will help us do just that. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, wow. That was awesome. Hallelujah. And it made me think about some of the things that I guess I instilled in my daughters, or things that I did with them when we were growing up. And sometimes, oh, my gosh, I know that God wanted a godly foundation in, you know, laid in the home. But, oh, my gosh,
yes.
Sometimes it's not an easy thing when you're coming against the thoughts of the world, coming against what you hear your children coming home from being around their friends and what they're talking about, and then God drops things in your spirit that you have to talk to them about. And I was saying, oh, Lord Jesus, God, every time I talk to them, I don't want it to sound like I'm reprimanding them or, you know, coming down on them or giving them some type of instruction. You know, I wanted them to see me as mommy, but a loving mother, not as somebody always having a whip in my hand or a teacher all the time. And the Lord would have to give it to me how to give it to them. And it's good even to ask the Lord, God, give me a segue that I can ease this in. And, you know, and it not turn out to be an argument or it not turns out to be something like, wow, dang, man, you always trying to tell us to do this. You always trying to make us do this, and that. Wow, my goodness, our friends don't do that. Oh, my goodness. But God would give me ways to say things to them and would give me just how to do it. And I thank God for it, because the same things that I've instilled in them and talked to them, even if they did not want to hear it, they knew not to sass me back. They knew not to talk back. And all, but now that they have children, you can. they may not have wanted to hear it from me, or even if after I remarried, they may not have wanted to hear it from their bonus dad. But God knows they've been instilling into their children just what they came up with, just what we talked about. You know, but thank God for doing it, because these things are going to take them through life. And you want them to have a solid foundation. You want the home, as when I was coming up, we had dinner around the table. There was Sunday dinner around the table. There was dinner through the week around the table. And I asked the children that I was working with one time, because I was just wondering, I said, how many of y'all still have dinner? How many of y'all families still have dinner together? Oh, my goodness. Well, my father, he has dinner in his room in front of the TV, and my mother, she eats after we do, and the children, the two little sisters, sometimes they sit at the table by themselves.
Yes.
Nobody ate dinner. The majority of the people did not eat dinner as a family. Everybody seemed to have been on a, even if it was a group of people in the house that was still there at dinner time, seemed like everybody had their own thoughts, everybody had their own agendas, and it was just like, you know, came to the kitchen, got whatever they wanted, and then go on the only way. Why not sit down at the table together? That is when you find out what's on your children's mind, what went on that day. So therefore, hey, later on down the road, you don't have surprises when you see your daughter's belly start swelling up, because if you sit down at the table, you would know that that there was a little Johnny down the street she was liking. But she didn't know, she wasn't instructed how far to let Johnny go, or how far you did not go with little Johnny. And she would have been told that if y'all had dinner around the table, you would have known where her mentality was. You would have known what she did and did not know. But she did not know certain things because you did not take time out to tell her. And just because she has friends of certain ages, and just because certain things are on television and they're teaching certain things in school, that doesn't mean you're supposed to allow everybody else to be your child's teacher. You are supposed to be your child's first teacher. and to teach them. If they aren't teaching biblical principles, and of course they're not in school and down the street, you are mandated by God to set the biblical principles and biblical standards in your child, in your home. And say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I had four girls. And people used to say, oh, Peaches, you going to put them on birth control? No. I said, it's only one. It's plan A. Ain't no plan B here.
That's right.
Ain't no plan B. Because, look, God wasn't going with me, y'all. God wasn't going with me for giving no plan B. It was plan A, and that plan was abstinence. Until marriage. Hey, if they did or did not, that was on them, and they went outside the will of God. But, this is what the Word of God says.
That's right.
Is what the Word of God says. This is what we have to. This is what we're supposed to be following, and it held me to a standard.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want them to see me doing something that I was telling them that they weren't supposed to do. And when they saw me do something that they thought it was the opposite of what I told, my daughter, but you said. And I remember the youngest was about 11 or 12, and Pastor and I were engaged, and she saw me accept a bouquet of flowers from him because I think it was Valentine's Day. But for some reason, he gave me a bouquet of flowers. But her seeing me taken from him was the same in her mind of me telling her, you don't take gifts from boys.
Uh-huh.
She said, but you said that we're not supposed to me, it is still funny today. But you said we're not supposed to take gifts from boys, and you took flowers from Mr. Earl. Okay, but he is my fiance. I'm going to marry him. It was for a particular occasion. But see, therefore, in their mind, in her mentality, as little as she was, and it's good that she was able to express that, because then I was able to let her know it's not the same. This is a man I'm going to marry. This was an object of, this was some flowers that he was giving me. You know, but that's why we have to watch what we're doing in front of our children, because if they think that we are telling them one thing and we're not doing it, that doesn't give our word any type of credit. They're going to say, but you said. But thank God, hey, when we're able to follow and stand up for the principles that God has given us and that we're laying in them, hallelujah, God is going to have our back. God is going to have our back, no matter how tough it may be. And the thing is, God is going to allow someone to come right along and give them the same word that we were giving them. And thank God. Because we give the word, one person the plant, somebody else water, and God will give the increase. And lo and behold, when their biological father remarried and they went over his house, when they came back home, they were flabbergasted. They said, Ma, she told us the same thing you told us. And see, I said, thank you, Jesus. They were getting it. Somebody else was telling them the same thing. So it gave what I was telling them some credit, because they, a lot of times children will think, you don't want us to have fun, and you want to pick our friends, and you wanted this, and I heard it all. And one night I ran away. One night I ran away. I couldn't take no more. I ran away. Oh, my goodness. But I thank God. Well, of course, I returned back home. Just need a little break. But I just thank God, because they have grown up to tell their children and rules and things. And thank God, none of them are incarcerated. None of them are in jail. None of them are, you know, on drugs, strung out, or anything like that. And what was so funny, one day, my oldest daughter was repeating something that her bonus dad, Pastor Earl, had said, and she said, oh, I sound like Mr. Earl. Because something that he had told them, she was repeating. Or something, if I say something, and then she finds herself, oh, I sound like Mama. Oh, and look, and no child wants to be the mirror of their parents. No daughter wants to be like their mama, like, oh, no. Because while their parent is telling them something, in their mind, oh, my, you just old focused and you just old-fashioned. But as time goes on, they end up saying and repeating the same thing their parent, and same thing mama just said. Hallelujah.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. That was good. Praise God. I'm gonna turn to your Bible. To Proverbs 22:6. I'm going to use that as the foundational scripture in teaching and training the children in the things of God, in the way they should walk, in the way they should live before their lives, before other people. In Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most of the time, even Christians, okay, but parents put most of the training on the mother.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And really, that's not what God wants. The training has to be on the mother and the father.
Train the parents. Uh-huh.
Right. And the mother and the father should be on one mind and one accord.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I know with our society today, and even when I was growing up, okay, before you got married and became one, it was a different teaching in each and everybody's home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Some parents was very strict.
Mm-hmm.
Some was not very strict. And so what you have to do is when you have children, you have to cipher out what way should you train your child to go.
Yeah.
What way would God be pleased that you are training your child? Training up a child refers to the total process of molding a child's life. I remember, praise God, tears flowing down children's face because they want to dress a certain way. And the parents was like, no. But you can't dress like that. That's not a godly way to dress.
Yeah.
Some wanted to put dye in their hair. So what they did, they used Kool-Aid to put in their hair. And some parents, they were getting upset and was telling them, the children, take that dye out of your hair. And really, it was Kool-Aid. Okay. So we have to, as parents, we have to be guided by the Father to turn the table around that the children will see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Because that's the first person is you as a parent. And we have in our society today, we have parents, husband and wife, they have their own standard. They're not on one mind and one accord.
Mm-hmm.
One is thinking one way, one is thinking another way. One think, okay, just let the child do what she want to do. One is saying, no, they're not going to do that. And it's a tug of war that's going on. And God said we are to train and we are to, the total process of the child, of molding a child. And it took mine, I often see what my mother, when she was making bread, amen, that nice good bread would be flowing through the house. But I would watch her when she would start making bread and how she took the flour, she took the yeast, and she took the warm water, and she mixed it all together. But before you knew it, that dough, it was mixed together, and she began to mold it. And she would push it one way, and then she would fold it, and then she would push it another way. Well, this is what I feel that the Father is telling us, because our children have so many things that's coming at them, okay? And they come in contact with forces that they can't handle. And although we impart scripture in them, and pray with them in the morning and pray with them at night, their little spirit inside them haven't matured enough, praise God, that they can say no. They're going to try it. And this is where I believe some of the children, they fall. Some of them are strong enough, but some of them isn't. Some of them will say, I want to be just like my mom. Some of the boys will say, I want to be just like my dad. And some of them will say, I don't want to be like my mom nor my father.
That's true.
And so there you can see inside their little hearts, it's being molded and shaped. And we want to get them in the position that it is pleasing, their little hearts is pleasing unto God. And here it says, train up a child in the way he should go.
Yeah.
How many times have you, as a parent, came home and that child came to you and said to you, I have homework, and you said, not now, leave me alone, I'm tired. I got to go out in the kitchen and I got to prepare dinner. Well, at that time that you're saying all these words, your child is looking at you, and the enemy is saying, she don't have no time for you.
Amen.
And he
Amen.
Don't have no time for
yep.
you.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
And so that thought and that seed is being planted in your child. And so the next thing you know, they'll go to school or they'll go outside. And if somebody that the enemy has prepared to give them all the time that they want. Okay. And all. And we as children of the Most High God, praise God, God wants us to, you know, no matter what, to make sure that we don't give no place to the devil.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The word train is, you know, it's just a remarkable word. It comes from the root word meaning to put into the mouth, and it implies the idea of conditioning, amen, or a child, and this parental training should help children develop a taste for the things of God.
Amen.
I like that.
Yes.
Because God has given us the ability and authority as a Christian, and I'm going to close because I know what's called. But he has given us, he said, taste and see what the Lord is.
Amen.
Our children should have that taste in their mouth that they want more of God.
Thank you.
That's right.
Amen.
I can remember, and I'm going to end with this. I can remember as a young child, I would go to the church. I would participate in things in the church. But in my little spirit, that I the hunger and the and thirst more for the righteousness of God.
Amen.
And I would go in my bedroom and I would cry and I would say, all I want is your love, Father. All I want is your love. Not knowing as a young child, because my mom and dad taught me as much as they knew, but not knowing that I had got a taste of God and my spirit was crying out. I believe that a lot of us as Christians, pastors, and minister QB, I believe that a lot of times our children get into things and they, this is why God said when they're old, they will not depart.
Yeah.
They're going to taste the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the world is showing them, I got time for you.
Mm-hmm.
And the Christians are saying, uh-uh, I'm too tired. I just came home from work.
Amen. Amen.
I got to get ready to go to the church.
Uh-huh.
And God is saying,
thank you, Jesus,
to us as Christians, no, your child needs a taste of me.
Uh-huh.
And amen. I feel that this is what's going on with a lot of our children.
Mm.
They don't have the sweet taste of God.
Mm.
Yeah. Yes.
So they can cry out. Because God is our teacher.
Thank you, Jesus.
He's the only one that
we can
show down and we can train them in the word, but the Spirit gets their heart.
Mm,
that's true.
The Spirit molds their heart.
Thank you, Jesus.
The Spirit gives them, hallelujah, that sweet taste.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you,
amen.
God. Thank you.
Let me be quiet.
Thank
Pastor,
you.
Jesus. I'm
going
to turn it back over to you.
Thank you.
Wonderful,
Jesus.
Wonderful.
Hallelujah.
Me too. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We just thank God. You know what, y'all? We are so blessed. We are so blessed to have that the sanctified Holy Ghost foundation. Just to think. If we didn't have people to have instilled it in our lives, where would we be? We would not have been able to instill it in our children. Hallelujah. We don't know where in the world where we would be. Oh, my God. Mm-mm-mm. But we just thank God for Jesus. Thank God for his word. Thank God for being able to have absorbed it while we were growing up. Thank God for the growing up in the homes that we did and for the people that instilled the Holy Ghost in our lives and the godly principles in our lives so that we could instill them in our children and they can instill it in their children. When you throw a ripple in the river or when you throw a rock in the river, the ripple just go on and on and on. And we just thank God for the things that we've been able to put into our children's lives, and they've been able to put into their children's lives, and it's going to go on and on, and we just don't know how, and to the full effect of what we've been able to put in our children's lives, where it's going to go, where it's going to end. It's going to go on and on and on. But the word of God said his word is not going to return unto him void. Hallelujah. It's going to accomplish just what it's supposed to. Father God, we just thank you for this time. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God. Jesus, we just thank you for you. Hallelujah. Lord God, if it wasn't from you, Lord God, on our side, God, we don't know where we would be. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank God, hallelujah, for the foundation of the word of God. It was laid in our lives years and years ago by our parents, hallelujah. We just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank God for the lives that we were able to touch with the word of God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We just praise you, God. As you're worthy, Jesus, we thank God for being women of God, for being women of the word. Hallelujah. For being virtuous women. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. Thank you, God, for this time with you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for every opportunity that we, Lord God, that we have around the word of God to share the word. Oh, God, we praise you, you're worthy, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God.
Thank you,
hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you so much, Pastor Maxine. Thank you so much, Elder QB. Hallelujah. Two mighty, mighty women of God. Hallelujah. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. And everyone, we hope to see you next month. Hallelujah. Second Friday of the month for the Women's Fellowship. Hallelujah. The Potter's House. Renewing Your Mind Ministries International. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Good night. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.